Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Graham McQueen. Graham is founding director of the Center for Peace Studies at McMaster University. Over the years, he's done an extraordinary amount of amazing work, including producing his forthcoming book that we want to talk about on the program. It goes back to the 9/11 conspiracy, the real the conspiracy that isn't a conspiracy because pure hard facts prove the official 9/11 story is nothing but another bald-faced lie. But we can talk about that a little bit. But one of the key issues related to the 9/11 story is what Graham covers in his book. He titles it The 2001 Anthrax Deception, The Case for a Domestic Conspiracy. I think most listeners remember the anthrax scare. Well, it sure wasn't the way it was portrayed to be. It was something entirely different, and Graham's book goes into it in great detail. Graham, I welcome you to the program. I'm very eager to hear. The book's coming out when, by the way?
Should be out in about 2 weeks, Steve.
In about 2 weeks, so it's just about there. You might say the ink is drying.
That's right.
Oh,
so
well,
if you order it now, you'll get it so hot off the press it may burn your fingertips.
I imagine you can order it right now from Amazon and get the pretty prompt delivery once they have their hands on the book, or the people they work with have their hands on the book.
I believe that's true. So, it would be great if people could read it, the 2001 Anthrax Deception. You should be able to find reference to it pretty easily.
It's
and
one
I,
of the neat.
You know, I got to tell you, Stephen, I hate promoting my own work, but I've learned over the years that if you want anybody to read it, you have to, right? You have to tell people it's out there. So one of my friends sent me a little epigram by Hilaire Belloc, long ago author, and I loved it, so I got to give it to you. It's, when I am dead, let it be said, his sins were scarlet, but his books were red. So my sins may be scarlet, but I hope my book will be red, and thank you for letting me talk about it.
Oh, it's a big story. It really is a big story, and it's one that never should be forgotten. Way back when I began writing, Graham, I wrote about the anthrax scare and the deception that was really proliferated. It goes always by the major media, the big lies that I talk about all the time. You know, they scare the public and think all kinds of things are the opposite of what they really are. But you wrote the book on it, so I'll let you explain.
Well, I appreciate that you wrote on it early, Stephen. I'm sure you wrote on it before I did. You've been a pioneer and usually ahead of the rest of us. I actually knew very little about the anthrax attacks for years. Sort of bemused, heard about them in the distance. I'm up here in Canada not feeling particularly threatened by it. And if it took me a while to get on to the 9/11 fraud, then it took me even longer to get onto the anthrax fraud. It seemed initially to me that it wasn't, and here I'm just being the guy on the street, right, quite uncritical. It seemed that it wasn't as important as the 9/11 attacks. After all, there were only 5 people killed as opposed to about 3,000. And I couldn't remember much about the political context or how they were used. However, I began hearing these things by various dissident people, people like you, I'm sure, that somehow the anthrax attacks hadn't been what they seemed, that the spores, the actual anthrax material, had been traced to a U.S. military lab. And I thought, what? I mean, if these attacks coming so soon after 9/11 are known to have been a fraud and are known to have come from within the U.S. military intelligence community, isn't that kind of important? Isn't that kind of important? Why aren't we hearing much about the anthrax attacks? Because some of us had discovered very painfully over many years that this was true of the 9/11 attacks. They came from inside the U.S. military industrial intelligence community too. So it seemed to me that if we could just show how this was the case with the anthrax attacks, it might be possible, it might be an indirect way to show that the same thing had happened with 9/11. So I was always interested in not just in itself, but in its relationship to the 9/11 thing, which everybody still remembers as hugely important. And it turned out that my intuition was right. First of all, it's accepted by virtually everybody and has been since really the end of 2001 that the anthrax attacks were a fraud, and the FBI agrees, Homeland Security agrees, everybody agrees, and that they did come from within the U.S., well, let's just call it the MIC, the military-industrial complex, but you have to remember the intelligence community is part of that. So it came from in there, and everybody knows that. But then the key thing becomes, well, what was the political context, and what is the detailed timeline, and how were these used, and who did it, and was it related to 9/11, which obviously you and I assumed from an early stage it was, but it's one thing to assume that, it's another thing to show that, right? Mm-hmm. So the devil is in the details, and my book tries to give the details on all those things. Well, I shouldn't say on all those things, but on some of them. I don't try and pin down what individuals precisely planned it and carried it out, but I at least point in the general direction, and I think I do a pretty good job of showing why they were carried out and how they were related to the 9/11 attacks.
Well, again,
and in my last,
go ahead.
Sorry, thanks for giving me a chance to give that candle that fairly long spiel. I guess the last thing I should say is, the problem is, of course, the people who did it haven't been apprehended. They're still there. If not the precise people, then at least the same general groups. They're still carrying out tremendous deception and violence. And I have every reason to believe they're the same people that are continuing to produce a string of, deceptions, from the Syrian chemical attacks to all kinds of deception around the Ukraine and the Malaysian plane shot down. And now there's the real danger. These attacks will get us all involved in a major war with Russia. So although it may seem a bit arcane, a bit off, like who cares what happened back in a few people dying from anthrax in 2001, I think once a person grasps the level of the deception and the fact that these people have not been apprehended and are still there exercising their influence, it becomes hopefully clear why this is so important to look at.
It is. It really is so important to look at. And indeed, Graham, I agree with you. With all of these things going on, there are so many things that should worry us greatly. And the most serious is the possibility, and I consider it a real credible possibility, that America could end up in a direct confrontation with Russia, which, of course, we're talking about a belligerent, a military confrontation with Russia. And I wrote an article this morning. I talk about big lies relating to Ukraine and Russia bashing and so on all the time. And
yeah.
This morning I quoted the New York Times, my favorite punching bag, and
right.
they had to change the story they wrote. And let me just read a little bit of what they said to talk about a great deception. This came out yesterday afternoon. I'm on
right.
their list to get their updates when they have something new that they want to post. So I got the alert, and I saved the article. And the article
okay.
yesterday was headlined, "Ukraine says Russian forces lead major new offensive in East." And the opening
yep.
lines were, Russian tanks, artillery, and infantry have crossed from Russia into an unbreached part of eastern Ukraine in recent days. Yada, da, 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 it goes on.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
the whole story disappeared today. Tanks, artillery, and infantry, the story disappeared today, and I don't think you can even find it anymore.
Well, that's interesting, because I got that mail out same as you. I'm on the same list. And I didn't have a chance to look into it, but I knew that you would.
Well, this was the only paragraph I started quoting from Graham, and thankfully
yeah.
I saved it. I wanted to
yeah.
put it in an article that I wrote, and I got it out early this morning. But the headline was changed to "Ukraine reports Russian invasion on a new front," and the tanks and the artillery and the infantry were replaced by 5 armored personnel carriers. That, according to the New York Times, made the Ukrainian troops retreat in panic. In panic.
Right. Right. Well, this fear of the great Russian invasion has been promoted for some time, and humanitarian aid convoys misidentified, and of course Russia blamed for the Malaysian shoot down and all this, And obviously you know much more about the Ukrainian situation than I do, but I assume you've already talked on your program about your book.
Oh,
your
yeah.
recent book on Ukraine.
A good deal. A good deal,
okay.
Which is why
All
I
right.
want to focus on your book.
Yeah, that's fine. Excuse me. We can do that. I'm happy to do that. What would you like to know?
Well, I don't remember the man's name, but I remember there was one scientist who was wrongfully charged or associated with the anthrax scare, and he had nothing to do with it. I don't remember his name. I imagine you discussed him in your book. I can't even recall if he was charged with a crime, or if, I don't think anything ever happened to him. But I don't remember if he was initially charged with a crime. Do you know the man I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about Stephen Hatfill.
Yes, exactly.
And then, of course, Bruce Ivins was their later choice as the anthrax killer. Let me try and put that in context a little. So here we have the anthrax attacks starting about a week after 9/11. So it's very closely linked in time to 9/11. The first letters go out somewhere around September 18th. And, and they're sent to various news media, and ultimately a little bit later, a couple are sent to two U.S. senators, which is really worth looking at, by the way, the ones sent to the senators, quite fascinating. But anyway, point is, the intent, clearly, of the people sending these anthrax spores, and including notes, okay, so there are actual letters inside the envelope with the spores. The clear intent is to frame Al-Qaeda, at the very least. As we'll see, they also wanted to bring in Iraq, but initially it was clear they wanted it to be Al-Qaeda. They wanted it to be clear it was the same people who did 9/11. How do we know that? Well, the letters inside the envelopes have the date, 9/11, right at the top, even though they weren't sent on 9/11. And then they go on to say things like, death to America, death to Israel, Allah is great, okay? And they also have some unidiomatic and misspelled stuff in them about take penicillin now, you die now, and so on. But they're quite brief. They're clearly supposed to be extremist Muslims linked to 9/11, no question about it. So that attempt to frame Al-Qaeda, it's an odd term, frame Al-Qaeda, because it gets us into the whole question of who is Al-Qaeda. But in any case, the attempt to blame this on a group of extremist Muslims was largely successful by about mid-October 2001. A poll showed that well over half, somewhere around 66% of the American population accepted that Al-Qaeda was linked to the anthrax attacks, which by then were fully underway. You know, people were starting to die. And Department of Homeland Security guy, a new guy, Tom Ridge, said, yeah, I mean, it looks to me like they're connected to this. The FBI is humming and hawing a little bit, but clearly interested in this possibility. The White House comes out strongly for that possibility. So in general, the executive branch is starting to get behind the Al-Qaeda hypothesis. Then around the middle of October, it becomes clear that there's a new wrinkle, or a new, what shall we say, a new spin that's being introduced. And that while Al-Qaeda is supposed to have mailed the letters and written the crude little notes, you know, death to America, and all, that the spore, the actual anthrax spores are discovered, the ones to the senators especially, to be extremely sophisticated. What I mean by that is they're not just the kind of anthrax spore that you would find in nature. They are anthrax, Bacillus anthracis, that has been very carefully treated. The spores are all pretty much the same size. They're just the right size to be inhaled by human beings and to lodge in the lung. They're clean, they're uniform, and they've undergone microencapsulation, meaning that there's actually, they've been coated with special substances which make them float in the air, so that they're not even like ordinary anthrax. They're more like smoke. So that when a letter to Tom Daschle is opened in the Hart building, the Senate building, the stuff floats away and contaminates the whole building. The Senate building, Hart building, has to be closed for months.
I remember that.
And so, you know, and the senators are driven out of the building and they're writing memos in donut shops and don't have access to their computers. It's so all this great hoo-ha is caused. But who could have created such sophisticated anthrax? That's the question. And nobody at this point is going to pretend that Al-Qaeda could have done it. Al-Qaeda, whoever they are, you know, could at best come out with some very clumsy little sludge. They couldn't have produced this stuff. And so it becomes clear that the attempt is to frame Iraq. And this becomes said very explicitly for the second half of October, and it comes from a variety of sources. The Guardian carries it. The Wall Street Journal carries it. There's long articles in the Washington Post, ABC News. And finally, they come out with a real fraud. They say, well, you know, Iraq is the only country that weaponizes its anthrax by coating it with this substance called bentonite. And guess what? We've discovered, ABC News says we have five, and I think it's first it's four, and then it becomes five, I think, independent, credible sources that tell us bentonite has been discovered. Well, my God, I mean, you know, and John McCain goes on TV and begins implying that Iraq is involved. James Woolsey, former CIA director, is trying to blame Iraq for everything. A whole bunch of people are now pointing a finger at Iraq. So we've got Afghanistan in the gun sites because they were hosting Al-Qaeda. Now we've got Iraq in the gun sites because they are supposed to have supplied the anthrax to Al-Qaeda. So we've got two countries that are about to be invaded. And as if that's not bad enough, this is also the same time the USA Patriot Act is wending its way through Congress. And there are quite specific correlations. You know, just when trouble seems to be in store for the Patriot Act, people's hackles are raising. They're saying, we don't like this, we don't want this. Various subcommittees of House of Representatives and Senate begin looking at it, begin balking, beginning wanting to change things. Just at those moments, we begin hearing of biological attacks and anthrax, and people start dying. And it's all quite precise. You have to see the detailed timeline that I set out in the book. So it's clear that the anthrax attacks are being used to get the Patriot Act passed to terrify the Senate and the House, which they effectively do, and to target two Democratic senators specifically, Leahy, or perhaps it's pronounced Leahy, you would know, I don't know, and Senator Tom Daschle. Those are the two who are mentioned explicitly in the Washington Post.
Daschle, I believe, at the time was the majority leader in the Senate.
He was Senate Majority Leader, and Patrick Leahy was the chair of the, what's it called?
The Intelligence Committee?
No, not the Intelligence Committee. But you know what? It's escaped my head. But it's the committee that is supposed to examine all kind of civil rights, any legislation that might have an effect on civil rights in the U.S.
The Justice Committee of some sort.
That's not that, you know, it's in the book. Don't remember. Anyway, he is crucial, Leahy, because his committee is the main one that needs to scrutinize the Patriot Act, and Leahy himself is having doubts. He's not too sure. He sees why he feels it's necessary, but he thinks that Ashcroft is trying to push it through too quickly. So these two Democratic senators, Leahy and Daschle, as I say, are mentioned explicitly, for example, in the Washington Post, as slowing down, you know, as causing an obstruction. They do this on October 2nd. And Cheney has already said that he wants this passed by October 5th, so we have a crisis here. And guess what? The October 5th deadline that Cheney gave passes without the legislation having gone through. And right after that, anthrax letters get sent to Daschle and Leahy. I mean, it's really, it's pretty clear who's doing this.
Oh, it is. And, I do remember that the Patriot Act was passed within about 4 weeks of 9/11.
Yeah, it was passed with blazing speed.
Yeah.
But if you look at the concrete, what I'm saying is if you look at the concrete timeline, you'll see that every time it looked like it might be held up, it might not go through, anthrax makes its appearance, either as a sudden threat that the FBI announces, terrible threat, you know, bioweapons attacks could happen, or as an actual anthrax letter appearing here and there. So the Patriot Act it might very well not have gotten through if it weren't for the anthrax attacks. And people have to understand this, that many of the same bits of legislation as ended up in the Patriot Act were initially introduced right after the Oklahoma bombing. And that was the first. That was an attempt to get this stuff through, so that Americans could be spied upon and all the rest of it. And it failed. You know, in the end, Congress gutted it. They didn't let it through. And this time around, I'm convinced the people who wanted this to go through were determined that nothing would stop them. They've done 9/11.
It didn't go through after the Oklahoma bombing, Graham, was that a U.S. general at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base did a study and showed that the official story was a bald-faced lie. It had nothing to do with a truck outside. The building was rigged and it was blown up from the inside, not the outside. And it wrecked a whole wide area around the building, an immense amount of explosions that took out. It just caused enormous damage. It's been a while, but I wrote about that, too.
Yes,
not to get the general's name.
I agree with you that all the evidence suggests that Oklahoma was an early fraud, the Oklahoma bombing. But the point is, the studies have shown, there are studies that have shown that you can indeed scare a population, and they will give up their civil rights, and they will agree to go to war. But the effect is often quite temporary. So if you blow up the Murrow Building, okay, people may be willing to give up certain civil rights, but that effect will wear off typically quite quickly. And I think these neocons who are designing this stuff know that. They've learned that. And therefore, they know that if they're going to shove through stuff like not a declaration of war, but congressional approval, basically, of war, which they did after 9/11, if they want, you know, approval for war, and if they want approval for a sacrifice of civil rights, they have to do it with blazing speed. And that's what they tried to do. And they, in the end, did do it. The Patriot Act did go through right in the midst of the anthrax scare. And there's good reason to believe it wouldn't have gone through if it weren't for that. I mean, yes, people were scared after 9/11, and yes, the polls show they were willing to give up this and that and so on. Again, I give the evidence in the book. But civil society was recovering. It was saying, wait a minute, do we really have to sacrifice our liberties to fight terrorism? And these people from the whole ideological spectrum, actually, from left to right, were saying, wait a minute, is this a good idea? And that's where the anthrax attacks come in, when people are starting to feel they're not so sure it's a good idea. Suddenly, you know, people are dying. And suddenly everybody's at risk. It's not like hitting a building in New York and a building in Washington. It's like anybody in the United States who gets mail is at risk. You know, an elderly woman in Connecticut, Vietnamese American who works in a hospital, two postal workers. These are the kind of people who are dying from anthrax. They're not targeted specifically. It's pretty clear. It's just that they get in the way of this. And that's really the point of the attack. The point of the attack is not so much apart from the letters to the senators. It really isn't. It doesn't matter who dies as long as they are ordinary civilians in the United States. And the message is you're all at risk. You've got to pass this to give us the power to spy on everybody. And that's what happened, you know. And the anthrax attack, the whole narrative of the anthrax attacks of being Al-Qaeda in Iraq fell apart very rapidly in a way that 9/11 didn't. That's one of the reasons the anthrax attacks are so important. By the end of October, in fact, right after the Patriot Act was signed by Bush, and I'm sorry, I don't remember whether it's October 22nd, I think, or October 24th, something like that. Right after the signing, basically, the story started to collapse. And pretty soon the FBI was saying, well, you know, it actually looks like a domestic job. And So, well, oh, it's okay. They've already invaded Afghanistan by then. They've already begun preparations for war with Iraq. Patriot Act is passed. So they decide, apparently, to just cut their losses and say, well, okay, I mean, there's no way we can really rehabilitate this Al-Qaeda Iraq story. So we'll get the FBI to produce what's usually called a limited hangout position, right? Meaning a position that contains some of the truth, and people will feel they're now given the truth, but which will actually protect the real perpetrators, protect the essential part of the truth. So in this case, the part of the truth they're going to admit is that this came from inside the U.S. military-industrial complex, and including, well, no, they don't actually admit that part. So it came from within the military-industrial complex. That's, they admit that. How are they going to protect the actual perpetrators who are actually linked directly? I mean, they include members of the executive branch of government, clearly. Well, they're going to protect them by going for the lone nut. The lone nut is always the choice if you can pull it off in the United States. Whether Lee Harvey Oswald...
Let me stop you a moment. I mean, this is so fascinating. I wish we could talk about it all morning, but we have less than 2 minutes left. I want you to get in anything that you consider very important that the listeners need to know so we don't leave it out of this program, but we're getting near the end of it right now.
Okay. Well, the first point then was that the Patriot Act, as well as two invasions, were helped along by the anthrax attacks, and the second thing is that I show in the book that the same perpetrators did the 9/11 and the anthrax attacks, and that's pretty important.
Oh, indeed. So, I mean, the connection is right there, and the public has been had. It's had over and over again, and they're scared to go along with things that they should be absolutely against. Such a big, this story will never go away, Graham, whether it's the anthrax story in terms of the greater context of 9/11 and the fact that so much has gone on. The only good news is that I think growing numbers of people are realizing that the official 9/11 story was a big lie. But you know, you never hear anything about it in the major media.
No,
so,
we won't.
The lies get proliferated. They have lots of friends, but the truths turn out to be orphans.
Yes, good point. Good point.
Great.
Well,
again,
Stephen, I hope that some people have listened to this and will go out and look into it more.
Well, the title of Graham's book, again, is The 2001 Anthrax Deception, The Case for a Domestic Conspiracy. You can check it out on Amazon. I'm sure that anybody can order the book today and probably even, maybe even quicker than 2 weeks get delivered. Amazon does some amazing things.
Yeah.
And, I strongly recommend that listeners do that. Again, it's a vital story, important to understand the greater story of the 9/11 conspiracy. Graham, my great, great thanks. I look forward to getting you back again to talk about more, including more about your book.
Great. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Graham.
Bye-bye.